ourselves in prayer. We're dealing with in 1 Corinthians 13, and that what you do in your life will be a profit to you. And it is going to be amazing at the judgment seat of Christ, efficiency rating. A lot of Christians are going to be in shock, and that what they think they're going to get for what they have done, what they have sacrificed, and they're going to be surprised because it is not in the power of God the Holy Spirit, and therefore it is not done in the love that God wants. And to make it very simple, whatever you do, giving, spiritual gift, understanding truth, whatever it is, take all those verses that we've been reading, and all you have to do is to do those things in the love given by the Holy Spirit, and it will profit you in time and eternity. You know, some people, well, I don't do things for rewards and all of this. Have your own attitude about it, whatever you want. Fact is, God gives rewards. So I'm not going to judge God. He gives rewards, and the basis of it is going to be very simple, that you do it in the love that I give. All right, let's prepare ourselves for the opening up of Scripture, that our eyes might see through the power of the Spirit what's going on. Let's pray. It is impossible, Father, for the flesh to understand how simple faith can secure eternal life. And for the body of Christ, Father, it is so difficult to understand that it is not the doing that you seek, but it is the doing in love. And so, Father, we now present ourselves to your Spirit by faith to open our eyes and to see, Father, that this pattern is set not only for the believer in the passage we're looking at, Father, but it is also characteristic of Jesus Christ and indeed yourself. Open our eyes that we can see the importance of these things tonight, Father. In Christ's name, amen. All right, it's been some time. Let's hear 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And hopefully we'll finish this up tonight and move into verse 4 next week. But we have been looking now at a multitude of things. What we're looking at initially is your life without love, a life without love. And even in the human realm, that is a rather difficult thing for a lot of people to go through, life without love. And it's one of the great problems with a lot of people today, that they are not loved and have no one to love. But here is a life without love. And the tragedy is, as opposed to the example I was speaking of, a lot of people do go through life without anyone to love and without being loved. We can't make someone love us. But in the spiritual realm, there's no reason why any Christian should not have this love. The reason we do not have this love is because we refuse to trust in His Spirit. And the resistance is just unbelievable. I am not going to trust His Spirit. I'm going to do for God, and I'm going to do this, and then God will just do it. And it's so simple to have. Let's just read through and see a life without love. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, again, remember the emphasizing spiritual gifts, but at the same time, zeroes us right into the spiritual warfare with the mentioning of angels. But do not have love, I have become an echoing sound and a clanging cymbal. And again, the only reason, it's a horrible condition to be in, people. As a Christian, it's probably the worst condition to be. People talk about sin. Oh, boy, the worst condition to be in sin. And you say this. The worst condition to be in is to be without love. Now, when you're without love, meaning you're not in the Spirit, there will be sin. But the worst condition is not the sin. The worst condition is to be without love. Verse 2, if I have a gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, I know everything. I know all of the prophecies, everything. I have all faith so as to remove insurmountable objects. That's what mountains are. But do not have love. I am nothing. So, this is what you are. You are nothing without this love. Verse 3, and if I give my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. And what we're doing in closing here is that we have seen from so many respects how this involves each of us in regard to our personal life and any type of giving, any type of anything you do with husband, wife, friend, family, church, work, social life, whatever it may be. This is your life without love. Nothing. And it profits you nothing. That means your time on earth profits you nothing in the eternal estate. But what we're closing out with is, and we didn't do this years ago, so I wanted to do it this time. I want to show you how not only is this true of us, but the pattern goes back, and it is true of Jesus Christ, who we often use as the supreme illustration of giving out of love. But it is also true, and we're going to see this tonight, it is also true of God Himself. So what God has given to us is not something that is just for us. It is something that also involves Himself. And we'll take a look at that. But let's finish up where we were last week so that we can move into this. Now, we looked at several passages in regard to this love. We looked at it in 1 John. We looked in 2 Corinthians. But if you will look with me in Galatians, this is where it is so perfectly stated and easy to see. So let's look at Galatians chapter 2, and you're familiar with it. So Galatians chapter 2, and this is where we have worked ourselves in this study. Okay, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, we remember that's because the law kills us. The law kills. It's designed to kill. I have been crucified with Christ, and we all died in Christ. We fulfill the law in the death of Christ. Now, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So it's not my life. We're so oriented to mine and my life. It's not our life. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, meaning here on earth, it doesn't mean in sin. Here flesh just simply means your time on earth. I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave himself, who loved me, and delivered himself up for me. And that's where we are right now. And in our passage, I just want to zero in on now. If you look, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now to kind of set the framework of what we're dealing with here. We're going to see the main verb is, if you look with me, the main verb is I live. And it says I live by faith of the Son of God. I live. Now, there's your main verb. And I'll just stay with me for a little bit here on this. I live. So, people, here is the main verb, and that's you and I living. So this is our living in today in our homes, our work, our houses, our marriage. This is everything that goes on in the fact that you and I live. I live. This is the main verb. But there is something, we're going to see two conditions that precede it, that have to occur before this occurs. And the Greek structure, the construction of the Greek here, it tells us there are two things that have to happen before this. And so this is what I want us to kind of zero in. So the now is going to refer to after a couple of things has happened. I live by faith of the Son of God, and his faith was in the Holy Spirit. Now we have two things, and we have, and they're both in the aorist active participle. And I just every now and then got to bring these things out because they're dynamic. The aorist active participle. Now the action that is in an aorist participle, the action that verb talks about, whatever it may be, precedes the action of the main verb. In other words, this action has to occur before this action can occur. So before that you and I can live in the quality of life that Paul is talking about, two things are going to have to happen because we have two aorist participles that are going to have to occur. And this is where we are in the midst of our study right now. And it says, who loved me? Now, I want to finish this segment tonight. I just want to let you know some of the things that we'll not spend a lot of time here, but I want your mind in with me. because this is so powerful. I live, the life I now live, two things set up the quality of life that you and I live. And one of those things that has to precede, if you and I are going to live, the quality, the wonderful life that we live. And I do hope that you value your life and value the time that you live in. It is no accident that God put us here at this time. We have a lot of people who just, they don't like their life, they don't like this, they don't like that. People, it's a privilege to be alive. It's Christ to live, if we understand this. So I live, and this becomes very powerful. And two things have to occur. Let's look at the first one. The first one is Jesus Christ loves me. This is the first thing. If this doesn't happen, if Jesus Christ doesn't love me, people, I don't live the quality of life I live. So he says, the life I live here on earth, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. So the quality of life that you and I live, that power of the Spirit, that confidence of eternal life, that having the Spirit, pour spiritual love through us, no matter what's going on in our life, all of these things, it starts out with the fact Jesus Christ loves me. Now, what I want to take you back to, and because these are such fundamental things, and people lose the fundamentals of living the Christian life so often. And this is why, you watch football, professional football, and you'll see guys making $500,000 make fundamental mistakes. It becomes, in fact, as they add more and more teams, you see less and less professionalism. But here are guys that generally play football in elementary, at least junior high, college, boom, and it's fundamental things, and Christians are failing at the fundamental all the way through. So I want you to look with me at a passage you already know, but look with me, because I'm going to show you something. Now get this in your soul. The life I now live, who loved me, and this is an aorist participle, the action of the aorist participle, that's Christ loving me, me personally, comes before I live. I can't live the life I live if he doesn't love me. You know, we could spend some time here and just talk about personal life. People who truly love their husband and truly love their wife. I couldn't live the life I live if my wife didn't love me, if my husband didn't love me. And that's the way a marriage should be. Unfortunately, it's not, but it should be. And that's why I changed my marriage ceremony to emphasize this aspect of it. I love you. The quality of life that I live is because I am loved by this man. I am loved by this woman. The quality of life that you and I live because Jesus Christ loved me personally. And we have that God loved the world, and that's very important. We'll look at that, but this is has me there. He loved me personally. Now, with that in mind, just to show you some journeys that I would like to take us off on, some little trips that we go that would really drive this into your soul, look with me at John, the Gospel of John, please, and look at John 13 in the upper room discussion. The upper room. I want to show you something. Sometimes if you see things in the flow of a study, you see things, but then when you're studying something else and you come back and you go, wow, look at that, and you see the connections. So I want to show you something. In John 13, and look at verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Okay, now the law was you love one another as you love yourself. But listen to the new commandment. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have this love for one another. But look what it says, this love for you. What I'm trying to show you is the new commandment, our whole life, the way we live toward one another, the goal of the Christian life, the justice, is based upon this thing, this aorist participle, he loved me. He loved me. And because I have been touched by this love, and because I know what this love is like, see, now I can live. And that's why I use the illustration that someone truly loves their husband and wife. I can truly live. And we're not saying, you know, if God took you away, I'd die and all that. We're just saying the quality of the manner of life I live is because you love me. And because I love you. Okay. Now taking this to the spiritual realm, we are able to live the life we live because Jesus Christ loved me. And now we see another dimension of it. This is how we're to live our whole life. It's because Christ loved me. This is a pattern on how I'm going to love one another. So as you treat your husband, as you treat your wife, as you treat friends, as you treat others in life, people, just remember what you are saying to the world, this is the way Christ loved me. So if you slam dunk other Christians, if you judge, if you control, if you malign, if you belittle, if you just keep attacking other Christians, you're saying to them, this is how Christ loves me, which of course is a lie. That's not the way he loves. This is why I keep driving back home so often with you, your view of God. This is your view of God. Well, this is your view of how Christ loves. How you love others and how you deal with your husband and your wife, with your friends, family, church, work, social life. You're telling angels, them, this is how Christ loves. He maligns, he judges, he attacks, he separates, he does all of these things the way I'm treating you. Controls. Got to control everybody. Make people do things. That's the way Christ loves. And we come to scriptures and we find out that isn't. But this is why I can live the life I live. Not because I have things or don't have things. Not because God's blessed me with all of this stuff or that stuff. No, it's because he loved me. And because he loves me, I can live the life I live. So this is the first one. Let's go back to our passage. I just want you to see that. So we know how he loved. He loved us. Okay. Now, we spent a few moments here on this whole thing. He loved me. All right. Now let's look at the next phrase. Now let's look at another aorist participle. Because I want you to see how these both of these fit in together. There is another aorist participle. And it says, and delivered himself. He loved me personally and delivered himself. Again, reference to the cross. So here we have aorist participle. And in this case, I think it's important you get a handle on the Greek. What does that tell us? This action precedes the quality of life that I live. And without this action, I couldn't live the quality of life that I live. And what is this action? Not only did he love me, but his love is the kind of love that delivered himself up for me. If he just loved, I still don't have this yet. But now we're learning what love does. What his love does, his love caused him to deliver himself up, reference to the cross, deliver himself up for me. Now, I'll come back to this, but just put it together for you now. Because of these two aorist participles, I now can go to the main verb, I live. And people, the quality of life that I live in the spiritual life, and the peace, and the joy, and all this, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control, all those things, the patience that comes to me now, is because I have been loved by Christ, and that love caused him to deliver himself up for me. Now, at this point, we dramatically learn some things about ourselves. We've been doing a lot of emphasizing. This is why I want to say, I'm so happy that the Spirit had happened to this assembly. What happened many years ago, because many years ago we did this, but there are a lot of things that I've seen since then, and it's nice to have a new set of tape on all of this, because we didn't do any of this then. And what I want you to see here is, talking about your own individual life, you and I live the quality of life because we have been loved by Christ, a love that caused him to deliver himself up. And without the delivering himself up, if we were just loved but he didn't deliver himself up, we wouldn't have the quality of life. Delivering himself up without the love, we wouldn't have the quality of life that we have. It took both of the aorist participles, these two actions, what determines this, precedes that I can now live. They go together grammatically. In the Greek, you tie these things together. These two actions bring about this action. I can now live the life I live now. So we see two things in this statement that we could spend a whole series on. And I'm just going to tell you what the two series would be. One series would be the factor of I live and why and how I live and the new commandment love one another as he loved me. How did he love me? Deliver himself up. And secondly, this will bring us, and this we will cover off and on, secondly, we go through and we get to look at love. We take a look at spiritual love, the kind of love we're talking about. We get to isolate it and look at it. And remember, the Bible doesn't define love. The Bible describes love. So we get to look at the description. We get to look and see this love. We get to pull away the veil, as it were. We don't need a definition. A definition of love isn't going to help us. A demonstration of love helps us. So what we're going to do is we're going to pull back the curtain and we see this love. And what is this love? This is the kind of love. People, what kind of love is God asking for? It's so crucial because in several things that this assembly is known for in our momentum. First of all, our momentum of faith. Well, I'm sure you're aware of the fact that we have been attacked and, well, they're just faith people and, you know, like just you have enough faith and all that, which we're not. We're talking about a faith that has an object and dependent upon an object. And so we talk about, you know, the faith and secondly, about love. And we need to understand some things about this love. And this is the kind of love. What kind of faith does God want? Does God want a faith in what you and I do? No, we know that. He doesn't want a faith in what I do. If I do this, then God will do for me. That isn't the faith he's looking for. He's not looking for a faith that I learn doctrine, apply doctrine, or I am morally good, he will save me. I serve, I emote, I do. That's not the kind of faith. What is the faith that God is looking for? God is looking for a faith that is put into him, put into himself. The Son, the second member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead. Because faith joins us into a fellowship and relationship. Faith is a relationship word between creature and creator. So this is the kind of faith. Okay, what kind of love is he looking for? Because a lot of people talk about love. A lot of denominations, a lot of movements. In fact, this is what causes some people to get all turned off about any discussion of love. It's so nauseous because people have made it so nauseous. And that's why a lot of people want to go back to law and they want to go to something I can control people with and can get a grip on. This love thing I can, and it makes you very sloppy. It's not the kind of love that God is looking for. The kind of love that God is looking for is the love that he gives us. The kind of love that God is looking for is what? It's the kind of love where you will deliver yourself up. If that's what it takes to reconcile somebody else to God. Over and over and over. The flesh will not do this constantly, but this is the kind of love that will do it. This is a love that is long-suffering. This is a love that is kind. This is a love that does not boast, is not jealous, that is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, does not puff itself, but on and on and on. It bears all things, hears all things, believes all things. On and on, it never fails. This is the kind of love he's looking for. It's the kind of love that will deliver himself. Most Christians have the kind of love where they will deliver somebody else. You've done wrong, let me deliver you on a cross. No, this is the kind of love that says, I will do it. I will sacrifice for you if that's what it takes to reconcile you with God. So we get a picture of our life, and we also get a picture of this kind of love. So this is the kind of love, as we saw last week, this is the kind of love that will make demands on you, the most unbelievable demands. Will be made on you in your life because of love. Not because of law or righteousness, but because of love. Now, delivered himself. Okay, so his love, the love that we're talking about, is a love that intrudes upon you. Now, let's take a look at the word delivering himself. If you get in your soul, in your mind now, that the Spirit says, the fifth action of love and delivering himself, one, because of the reconstruction, precedes and determines how I live, but secondly, it relates. The construction of the Greek here relates to love and the deliverance. He delivers himself out of this love. Now, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 13, what brought us to all of this? If I do not have love, it profits me nothing. If I do not have love, delivering himself on a cross profits him nothing. So we have a relationship, is the reason we came this way. We have a relationship between the love of God and the love of Christ and delivering himself up. So this is what I want you to see, is that. Now, this delivering, we think of it in terms of the cross. But I want you to see what this love does. Islam takes Jesus Christ as God with all of the glory. What I'm giving you now is a quick a view of Philippians chapter 2. He is God, but because of love, he did not think that just holding on to his existence as God was something to be grasped and held on to at the condemnation and standing into an eternal lake of fire all the creatures of the human race. And so motivated by this love, the first thing he did, he delivered himself as God to become man. And again, we saw, that's nothing great. It may be great to us. We may think that being a member of the human race is a pretty good deal, but not when you're God. It may be a pretty good deal when you're an animal, but it's not a good deal when you're God. It's not even a good deal when you're an angel. I mean, we're so beneath angels that they are, that Satan is just horrified that God loves us. So here he became, way down here, lowly man, setting aside privileges of his deity. Now, not only did he do that, as if that weren't enough, what he then did as man, he became the servant of man. Instead of being served by man, he became the servant of all mankind, and therefore is called the Son of Man, because he is the servant of all man. Son serves his father. Remember that, Chris. Son serves his father. All right. So here is the Son of Man, and he's called the Son of Man because he is the servant of all mankind. So let's watch what's happened, how he's delivered himself. He delivered himself as God, delivered himself over to be a man, but not only did he stop there, he then delivered himself to be the Son of Man, even to the point of death. And what Paul says in Philippians is, this is the attitude that we're supposed to have. This is the love that we are to have, this kind of love. It's been shown to us, the kind of love we're to have. So delivering himself up, yes, I want you to have in mind the cross, people, but I want you to have in mind the whole picture of delivering himself. As God, he delivered himself, taking the form of humanity with all of its weaknesses and all of its frailties, and then to be the servant of man, even to the point of death, the cruel, shameful death of the cross. That's a demonstration of this love. That's what this love looks like. So we have the aorist participle, and it precedes the action that I live this way. So the main verb, I live. But before you and I can live, two conditions. First condition, Jesus Christ must love me. And he does. I mean, people, do you understand this? You personally. It's a very personal. Love is very personal. The love from the Father and the love from the Holy Spirit and the love from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loved me. And because he loved me, I now live. It's not about righteousness, dear people. It's not about moral righteousness. It's not about learning Bible doctrine. It's not about emoting. It's not about service. It's about his love. Because he loved me. And what is that love like? Not like most people think it is. Get to control, order, get your way, you serve me, you be thankful, I do for you everything. All the way man knows about love. No. This is his love. This is a love that says, I will sacrifice myself for you. That's this kind of love. It's impossible in the flesh. The flesh will not love like this. Most people's love is for my benefit. I love you, therefore you do for me. I love you, therefore you sacrifice for me. That's not the kind of love that Christ has, isn't the kind of love we're going to have. It's a love that I love you, therefore I will sacrifice for you. That's what this love will do. And will not make a martyr out of myself in doing it, not exalt myself, not push myself. This is what love does. This is what this love does. So he loved us and he delivered us himself. Now we come to the main verb. As far as is now in order, not in the grammatical order in our passage, but in order, well, not in order the way it's written in English, but in the grammatical order. Aorist participle, he loved me. Aorist participle, delivered himself up for me. Now we can come to the main verb, I live. We do not live until, first of all, Christ loved us. We do not live until, first of all, Christ delivered himself over for us. We do not live the way we live. It's that simple. You can look at somebody's life. Somebody's life who has no one to love them. That's the way we are until Christ loves us. When Christ loves us, comes down, and then he delivers himself up. So one, he loves us, but two, that love is the kind of love that will deliver itself up for us. This isn't a love that you get to decide how it's going to be, people. You don't get to set the rules on this love. That's the way most Christians want to do with this love, and that's why they find sibilance. The sibilance is a term used to hide the fact that you really don't believe in something. So you don't want to hide the fact you don't believe in it. Well, yeah, there is love, but we find little ways of hiding it. We call it impersonal love. We call it tough love. We say, yeah, but we second make it secondary to righteousness and law and all this because I just don't want to have to deal with the demands of that word. And also your life is going to be tested over and over. You really walking in the Spirit? Do you love? It's I love. This is how we're going to know. This is what God is. God is love. And this is how you and I must love. So the fact that you and I can live is because of what he has done for us is the way we're going to live. Now, he loved me and delivered himself up for me. The reconstruction is that there's a relationship between the loving and the delivering. This is the kind of love that will deliver himself up for our benefit. And now you put these two together, now I can live. Now, see where that now comes in verse 20? Now I can live. Why can I now live? I now can live because Jesus Christ loved me and delivered himself up for me. Now I can live. See, in the just use the romantic realm of this, man says to the woman, now I can live because you love me. And because we are one, now I can really live. In the spiritual realm, infinitely more important in that sense, than in that level, but now I can live because Jesus Christ loved me and delivered himself up for me. If he delivers himself up without love, it profits him nothing. 1 Corinthians 13 applies to Jesus Christ. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to see that this also applies to God the Father. This also applies to God the Father. So, our study in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 4, applies to the Father. So let's take a look and see if this is true of God the Father. Now, what we're looking at is, even if I offer myself, so I want you to flow with me on this, even if I offer myself, okay, let's talk about that first of all. Even if I offer myself as a sacrifice, okay, and do not have love, it profits me nothing. How does this apply to God the Father? I hope you'll see this. When God sent his Son, he was sending himself. It was just in sending himself to the people. So by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, or excuse me, God is offering himself. How do you and I know what the Father looks like? We know what the Father looks like by the Son. This is why, if you remember a couple of Sundays ago, I spent some time on the word to send. To send. And if you'll recall, there are two different Greek words to send. God the Father sent Jesus Christ. And he's also used the Holy Spirit, but let's just do it here. God the Father sent Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of verses in the Gospel of John that deals with that. But remember, there are two words for sending. One word, they both emphasize relationship to send. Now, one word emphasizes the relationship of the one who does the sending, the sendee, one who does the sending to those to whom he sends, to those who are going to receive the one sent. Okay. There's the second word emphasizes the one doing the sending and his relationship with the one sent. Now, why was all of that important? Was I just trying to be cute and clever? No. I showed you in the Gospel of John why it was important, but let's just look at it here. When you have the word apostello, which is the word emphasizing the relationship of the one doing the sending with those to whom he is sent, with the word apostello used there, you are to receive the one being sent to you just as if you were receiving the one doing the sending. So when God the Father sends Jesus Christ, you are to receive this Jesus Christ just as you would receive God the Father himself. For indeed he is the Father come to you. He comes with all the authority, all the presence of the one who does the sending. So he comes with that. So when God the Father sent his son, it was though he was offering himself. And this is why so often I would challenge you, what is your view of God? What is your view of the love of God? What does God's love look like to you? The way you treat one another, the way you treat husband and wife and friends and people, and the church and believers and everything, that's your view of God and that's your view of love. Remember that. That's the way you think God loves. That's the way you think Jesus Christ loves. So, here is God the Father offering himself. In the sending of his son, he's offering himself. Now, I've learned, because people are there, I've learned it doesn't mean you agree. I'm not asking do you agree, but do you understand what I'm saying here? In sending his son, he's sending himself. Do you understand that? Okay. If you believe that, fine, that'll be your deal. But this is the way that scripture and all of these things are put together for me. That God the Father, in sending his son, has offered himself. Now, let's ask the question from 1 Corinthians 13. If God, even God, especially God, offers himself without love, it profits him nothing. If God the Father offers himself and doesn't do it out of love, it profits him nothing. Because this is going to hold true for God. Because this is a principle. What are we looking at, people? We're looking at a principle about love. We're not looking at a principle so much about giving, even offering yourself, as we are about love. We're learning about love, not about giving. So if he gives without love, it's the love that's going to be a profit to him. So let's see this, if it works for God. Open, first of all, to Romans 5. I'm going to give you some passages and write them down, but we're going to look at them. Romans 5. Let's look at Romans 5, verse 8. Okay, Romans 5:8. Now, chapter 5, just to orient where we are, we have now moved into a discussion about believers. 1 through 4, unbelievers. Chapter 5 begins a discussion about believers. Verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith. So, we're dealing now, this is a transitional chapter, we move from a discussion of the unbeliever to a discussion of the believer. And in the discussion of believer, we're going to see a lot of references back to salvation one or the cross. Why? Because that is the pattern on how we're going to live our life. And that's what Paul's whole point here is. But what we're going to look at is verse 8. But God. Okay. We're talking now about the supreme authority, God the Father. But God demonstrates his own love. Okay, people. Offering himself. I'll put it on here. This is so powerful to me. I hope it is to you. Offer himself. If I offer myself as an offering without love, it profits me nothing. So here is God offering himself. Now let's take a look at verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love. All right. Here is his own love. I want to stop and tell you something, since we're not going to spend much time here. This is the same love that's inside of every one of you when you walk by faith in the Spirit. This is hard for some people to grasp. God. Love. God is love. But you have that same love inside of you because the Holy Spirit is God. And when he pours his love in, this is his love. The same love. Okay. God demonstrates his own love. And look what it says. Now that beautiful phrase again. Toward us. You can put in there toward me. Me personally. God demonstrates his very own. Unique to him, people. You won't find it in the angelic realm. You won't find it in the human realm. It's unique to him, but it's given to us by the Holy Spirit, third member of the Godhead. His own, his very own love to us, to me personally. All right? Now, how do you do that? This adds even a problem to it. dimension, the impact of this life, in that while we were yet sinners. Okay? You want to take a look at this love? In that while we were yet sinners, okay? Alienated from Him, condemned, alienated, all these things we could talk about, and all of these circumstances of being sinners and being alienated from Him in that respect, our doing, and while we were yet sinners, what did it say He does? Christ died for us. Okay. Well, we've already seen Jesus Christ did it out of love. What we're concentrating on now is we're looking at God. God, the Father, demonstrates, offering Himself in the person of Christ, demonstrates now His own love to us, and even while we were sinners, not while we were wonderful, but while we were sinners, He offered Himself. Christ died for us. This is the offering. 1 Corinthians 13 is what brings us here. Now, what I want to emphasize here is, what's tough love? It's a symbol, it's a psychological term which lets me get away from what spiritual love is all about. People, I will tell you what tough love is. Tough love is loving someone when they don't deserve it. Giving to them even your own life when they don't deserve it. That's tough love. Tough love is forgiving 70 times 7. That's tough love. Tough love is loving when the person doesn't deserve it. They've hurt you, sinned against you, done something wrong, and yet you still love. That's tough love. You want to talk about tough love? I'll talk about it. Scripturally, not human viewpoint. And the Scriptures make it very clear. Here's tough love, right here. While we were yet sinners, you still love me. I didn't have to perform for it. I didn't have to do anything for it. Unconditional. He loved me. He demonstrated His love in Christ dying for us. Any questions? Okay, let's go to another one. Of course, the one we saw a couple of Sunday mornings ago. Look at John 3. I know you know it, but just turn with me. Scriptures. Learn about love again. John chapter 3. So what we're looking at is that this holds true now even for God the Father. We saw that it holds true for the Son. We saw several passages that He delivered Himself up for me out of love. Now we're seeing even God the Father offers Himself, as it were. And He does it out of love. If He does it not out of love, then it profits Him nothing. That may sound a little blasphemous, but He set this ground. He set the ground rule on love, not me. And if it's not done in love, it profits nothing. It's done in love. And He does it out of love. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16, which we have just studied a couple of Sundays ago, so we have just read through it. For God so loved the world. Now, you see the word so loved? Okay, what does that tell you? We're going to find out how He loved. This is how He loved. This is how He loved. How do you love, and how are you loved by other believers? Here's how God loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Okay, this is the offering of Himself. The offering of His Son is the offering. And how does He do it? He does it out of love. Motivated by love. The world, again, emphasizes that just like the sinners, those alienated from Him, for the world is in darkness. We saw that last Sunday. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, you know what we're learning here that we're going to see? It talks about how did Jesus Christ love? What does spiritual love look like? Spiritual love is love from the Holy Spirit, therefore it's God's love. Now, He loved sacrificially to self for the benefit of others. People, when you take advantage of the love given to you, appropriate it, and we do that by faith, to your advantage. You're always, people, let me tell you about this love. You're always benefited by this love. Always. And in this case, you're benefited by being given life. That's the business God is in. He's in the business of giving life. So this love always benefits. Here it benefits in regard to life. All right, let's look at another one. Let's look at Ephesians. I'll just share with you one thing. I'm working on something else from this study that I did, because I found it a little interesting, but very interesting, that I found more passages dealing with God in love and doing all of this, and even words about Jesus Christ loving and offering himself. And these verses have taken me into the spiritual warfare. There are a lot of things in the Old Testament. I don't know where we're going to get it, but you're going to get it. But let's look at Ephesians, because this is another beautiful one. Ephesians 2, and we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. But God, so we're talking here about God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. So here's another thing we're going to be studying about love. We talk about mercy. Now, what is mercy? What's the view of mercy? It's very important. I think we've gone through this, but let's just do it at this point. Several months ago, a lady was going to be executed, or was executed in Texas, and a very strong leader of some Christian momentum, Protestantism, and the Pope of Rome. These two different men, and it's very interesting listening to them, they both made their plea to the governor of the state of Texas, and they said, show this woman mercy because she has believed in Christ, and her life since that time has been a good life. Now, people, that's not mercy. That's earned. That is not. See, that let me know these two men, and in that, most Christians, view of mercy. You really earn it. Well, I'll be merciful to you. I want you to understand it from God's perspective, what mercy is. You don't earn mercy. If you want to know what real mercy is, let's don't execute her, even though she hasn't changed one bit, and if we let her go free, she'll do it again. That's mercy in the biblical sense. You don't earn mercy. Mercy is given. That's why we call mercy of the court. You don't earn it. This is not true mercy. Let's look at God to find out true mercy. Let's look at his love. Let's look at his love, and we're going to find out what real mercy is. You don't have to earn it from God. Okay, let's continue reading. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, being rich. And I love it when it says things like that, rich. It just means that it's just so overflowing. You know what a rich person is? Just has just overflowing with money, has a lot. God just overflows with this. It just seeps off of the chocolate cake, the chocolate icing just flows off. It's rich, flowing off in mercy. And where does it come from? Because of his great love. Why is it called great love? Great in magnitude. Remember, love can be measured. And what is the greatest measurement of love? Offering yourself. God offers himself. Great love is offering yourself for a friend. Let me tell you something. God's love is greater than that, because he offers himself for whom? His enemy. So here is God offering himself. This is what his love will do. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, well, here it is again, people, with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our transgressions. Okay, that's when he loved us and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So here what you really have, another thing that we haven't really associated with in our study of grace, how closely related grace and love are. But people, let me ask you something. Why wouldn't that be true when God is love? And the way that God deals with all creatures is grace. Why wouldn't we have already come to this study that love is associated with grace? And I haven't, but I have now. And you're going to be getting that in the study of the crisis of grace. We're going to see the relationship of love and grace. And there's some other very interesting passages on it. So these things are really beautiful that we're noting. All right, let's move on to 2 Thessalonians. We have just enough time here to finish this up, so let's look at 2 Thessalonians. chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm just picking passages that are very clear to us. We don't have to do any real work with. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father. So we're going to talk about the humanity of Christ and God the Father. And God our Father who loved us. There you have it again. And people, because he loved us, we live. Because he loved us, we live. Who loved us and given. There it is again. The relationship of this word love related with grace, but it's also related with always with the concept of giving. Giving. Most people think of love as receiving. I love you, therefore you do for me. I love you, therefore you roll over and play dead for me. I love you, therefore you give me. Now, God's love is a love that it gives, and it will give the supreme. People, we're learning about love. We're learning about God's love, and we're learning about the only kind of love that God is going to accept. It's his love that he gives to us by his Spirit. Okay? Let's continue reading. Verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace. There's our grace again associated with love. Comfort and strength your heart in every good work and word. So here we have his love. Let's look at one more, 1 John. Then we'll close. 1 John. I hope you love studying this love, because if we start next week, it's just going to intensify over what we've done before and understanding this love, what it is and what it is not. All right, 1 John 4, let's look at verse 9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. Okay, you can see it, we're talking about God's love. Now, by this tells us, we're going to see what it is. By what? By this. By what? The love of God was manifested in us. By what? That God. So we know that he, whatever's going to be said, he did it out of his love. That God has sent his only begotten Son, i.e. himself, into the world so that we might live through him. So we're going to end the night where we began. I live. I live. The life I now live. Main verb, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I live. Two conditions for me to live. One, Jesus Christ loved me. Now we have God the Father. And delivered himself up for me. Okay? Here you have I live again. Let's continue reading. 1 John 4, 9. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. People, we don't live if he doesn't love. We don't live if he doesn't deliver himself. But because he loves, and that love calls him to deliver, we live. This is going to be your life. When you love, as Jesus Christ loved, by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, that love is going to be characterized in you by delivering yourself up, if that's what it takes, to reconcile someone, to restore someone, because this is used to believers in the new commandment, back into their relationship with God. People, this is why. If you understand that this love comes from God, this is why this is the love that, if we do understand the passages of the reward, profiteth me nothing, this is, all the rewards are related to this word right here, love. They're not related to the serving and the knowing and the doing. They're related to the love. To love him to the end. Love him to the end. We love him to the end. We love him. And that love causes us, I'll deliver myself up if that's what it takes. And think nothing about it. Love doesn't even think anything about it. So it doesn't boast about it. All right, let's continue. Verse 9, just such a beautiful verse. By this the love of God was manifested in us. See, what did we see in the Romans 5:8? He demonstrated his love, manifested his love. People, love is a force. It doesn't sit static. You understand that? It doesn't sit static. Love doesn't just say, I love, and then nothing happens. When there is this love, this is why I call it a spiritual force. A spiritual force. What is a force? A force is a push and a pull between two objects. A force is not static. Mass, matter is static. A force is a push and a pull. That's what love is. And this is what God does, okay? And with that, he gives us life. Now let's read verse 10. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, and then just to read verse 11, beloved believers, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. But most Christians do not love one another. They hate one another. If that other person sins and really hurts them and all this stuff, we don't have this love. But what I want you to see here in all these passages is we're relating God and his love in sending his Son. This is the only reason God is going to be profited by this. This is the way that God loves. Let's read the two verses. They're powerful. They're phenomenal verses in our study. By this, the love of God was manifested in us. At how? That God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In the Galatian passage, it was the love of Christ that gave me my life. Here, it's the love of the Father that gives me my life. They're one. They're one and the same. They're different, but they're the same. It's like Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. They're different, and they're the same. Verse 10, in this is love. Not defined, but described. Not that we love God. You're not saved because you love God. No one is saved because they love God. See, this is the fallacy, just part of the fallacy of Lordship salvation. This ideal of I've already had this love and this commitment to God to make him Lord, and therefore you save me. No, people, you're not saved because you love. Love is active. Love reaches out. Love does something. Faith. We're saved by faith. Faith is passive. Faith can't do anything. Love can do a great deal. Love does a great deal. Faith can't do anything. The only thing faith can do is to receive from God. We're not saved by love. If we were saved by love, that means that God saving me depends on me doing for him, me loving him. And I would be doing it. We're not saved that way. We're saved by receiving from God salvation. We just simply trust him. So let's look at verse 10. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Everybody's so proud of their love for God. People, you live because God loved you. You live because Christ loved you. Oh, yes, people, don't misunderstand. When you walk in the Spirit, and as you grow in walking in the Spirit, in this love, you will love him. But what I want you to understand in this passage is, we live because he loves us, not because I love him. He loves me. He loves you. He, Jesus Christ, he, God the Father, different yet the same. I am the Father and me. And because the Father loves you, and because the Son loves you, and because they have delivered themselves up for you, you and I live. And that's why you and I live. Not because of righteousness and justice, not because of the law, but because of love. What is the goal and objective of the Christian life? I was asked this in a very ridiculed and sarcastic manner. Well, you know, it just used to be, you got to learn all this doctrine, and that's the objective, to fill your soul with doctrine. No, people, I can show you from the scriptures. Objective and goal of the Christian life is to love. Like Jesus Christ loved, to love. Like God loved. And the flesh can never do that. Satan can never do that. Can't even understand it. So what is my objective in my whole Christian journey? This whole journey that we talk about is to love as he loved. Why? Because people, when you love as he loved, then the world, let's take the world here, the world in this darkness that we're studying on Sunday, the world in this darkness will get to see God and get to see his love. When you love, that's what the world sees. That's the way God loves. And when it's truly from the Holy Spirit, they're seeing how God loves. You and I know how God loves us. This is how we ought to love others. But Christians can't do that. we've got to kill, malign, judge, attack, do all kinds of things. And that's the view that the world gets of God. And this is why it's so important, one, what is the view of God, what is the view of love, and fundamentally, walking in the Spirit by faith, that it is a pour in this love, because people, I don't even know how to look in every circumstance. Any given circumstance, we don't know how to look. It's beyond understanding. It's dynamic. That's why it's not defined. It's just described in the manner in which we live and deal with one another. So verse 10, and this is the love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. What will you do? It's the old thing is, here's the most important aspect, and that's why it's off of inside, when another believer sins against you, hurts you, lets you down, all these things we talk about, how you respond and react to that person is your view of love. It's not your view of righteousness and justice. It's not your view of law. It's your view of love. This is the way love acts. That's the way love acts. That's the way I understand how God's love is. And we go to Scripture and find out, is that the way he loves? No, he loved and he sent his son, even while we were sinners, to take care of the sin. See, people, most of the time when we hurt one another, it's up to us to make things right. It's up to me to go and say, I'm sorry. It's up to me to send the flowers and the candy and the diamond rings and all of this stuff. When a husband hurts a wife or a wife hurts a husband or you hurt somebody, it's up to me to go apologize. It's up to me. Look at God's love. It chases us. It runs after us and says, it's okay. I've taken care of even what you just did. That's the love we're talking about. Closing the word of prayer. When we come in contact, Heavenly Father, with this love, we'll remain speechless. We're left with the human desire to say thank you. And we realize the inadequacy of that. What we can do. And we comprehend that we live because of your love. If we just praise you. We praise a God who loves like this. And then, Father, put ourselves in the power of your Spirit that love will flow through us because we have been touched by it. We live by it. We desire to meet that which flows through us to one another. Love will make demands tonight, tomorrow, the next day, and the next. Demands, Father, that we cannot meet. But if we will walk in the power of your Spirit, he will pour into our lives, into us a life that can do this. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the God that you are. It is a great privilege to live at this time, in this country, in this geographical area. It's a great time, Heavenly Father, to find out what really is important in our lives, what really is important in our existence, and that comes through day in and day out. Father, we praise you that you are love, that you have loved us, and that you gave us your Son, that we might live. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.